SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Senno. We are recapping all the games from the Week 18 NFL slate here. Browns, Bengals, first game up. We'll go all the way through the Sunday nighter. Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins. We'll also be taking a look ahead towards first round of the AFC and NFC playoffs here. We'll be giving our first looks. Any best bets we got, we'll throw it out. He's Mark Senno on Twitter, at Mark Senno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. Feel free to shout us out, what you agree with, what you disagree with, what you're looking to bet. All is welcome, at Mark Senno, at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. We got Matt and Frank in the producer's role. Week 18 recap coming to you now. Mark, what are your overall thoughts on today's action? I guess Saturday night as well, which we will hit those games actually up first. But Mark, do you change anything you're doing coming into the last week of the NFL season? And what were your overall thoughts for this weekend?
Well, you can't treat it like a regular week. So much has changed. There's so much variance. You know, it really is one of those things where you look at, you know, what teams are doing and what teams have something to play for and who doesn't. Yeah, just everything changes about it. So you can't treat it like a regular, you know, any old regular week in the NFL.
And do you almost think that it works as an advantage, almost kind of similar to like bowl season in college football, where if you do your homework, you can get little edges and angles? Or would you rather be betting other weeks in the NFL? Yeah, does that make any sense? Think there's an advantage?
I mean, you'd rather bet weeks with less variance, obviously. I mean, you know, your job as a handicapper is to eliminate variance. That's what your the whole idea of this whole thing is. So if I can get a fully healthy team versus another fully healthy team, then I know exactly what, or theoretically, I know exactly what to expect. So that, you know, it's always easier when you have that.
Makes sense, Mark. Guys, I know I said Browns, Bengals. That will be the first one we hit from the Sunday slate. We're going to start off with Saturday games. We had two of them, afternoon and night kick, and it was the Steelers and the Ravens, with the Pittsburgh Steelers going off as the -3 favorite, 34.5 being the total. Game stays under. Steelers win and cover. Mark, what'd you take away from Baltimore here with the first game up on Saturday?
I mean, look, the Ravens played a whole bunch of backups, and the conditions were sloppy, and it was really a mess for the whole game. And, you know, Pittsburgh needed a win. They played like it. They end up winning. They end up clinching a playoff spot. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it 100%, you know, was a game that had the Ravens played normally, they probably would have won. But, you know, again, there's not much to take away from a game where, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat a depleted Ravens team. The only real takeaway is that T.J. Watt got hurt in the game and will probably miss the playoff game.
Yeah, big loss there for the Steelers. We had Tyler Huntley throwing for 146 yards in the loss for the Ravens. Also rushing for 40 yards on 8 carries. That is an average of about 5 yards there from the Baltimore backup, the former Utah Ute there, filling in for Lamar Jackson. So Ravens getting the one seed, a week off, and then we will see the 13-4 Ravens in the second round of the NFL playoffs at home. They will have home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs en route to a hopeful Super Bowl appearance for the Ravens. We will see how that plays out for them. We did have two games on Saturday, January 6th, with the nightcap being the Texans and the Colts here, Mark, 23-19. This was a close one, a fun one to watch on Saturday night. 23-19 is how it finishes. The Texans cover as 1.5-point road favorites. 47.5 was the total, so does stay under. And Houston wins and covers. What'd you take away from Indianapolis Saturday night?
Feels like the clock kind of struck midnight on the Colts and Shane Steichen and the season that they had. You know, it boils down to the Texans and C.J. Stroud, their ability to throw the ball down the field and hit big plays. And Nico Collins was basically unstoppable in the game. Colts never really could muster anything offensively other than, you know, a good running game from Jonathan Taylor. But, you know, this is a Texans defense that played a big game and played a good game when they had to. It's not a very good defense, and they can be beat. We'll find out really next week how much they can be beat. But I say all that, you know, congratulations to the Houston Texans and D'Amico Ryans and everything that they've accomplished here in year number one. But, you know, I was never really a strong believer in the Colts. You give them credit for getting this much done the way they did this year with without their number one quarterback. And, you know, Gardner Minshew is a backup quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. He's not a starter in this league. He played good enough to help this team win 9 games, and unfortunately it wasn't enough.
Sure, they finish over 500, but go down here to the Texans that finished the season 10-7, punching their ticket into the playoffs. C.J. Stroud and company, he threw for 264 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mark, quick question here on C.J. Stroud. Where does he rank in your quarterback rankings for the NFL? Is he a top 10 quarterback in your mind?
He's right on the edge. He's definitively top 12, but maybe even top 10. I mean, he's that kind of player. That's a guy next year. With another year in her belt and a healthy receiving core, like when his passing yards prop comes out next year and it's only sitting at like 39.50, just jump on the over immediately as soon as you see it. He's going to throw yards next year without breaking a sweat. If he's healthy for all 17 games, he's going to throw for that kind of number.
Guys, we'll hit one more game here on Sunday. Browns at Bengals, Cleveland at Cincinnati is the battle for Ohio, Mark. 31-14, it was Bengals on top at home. They were up 31-0, and then the Browns put in 2 touchdowns there in the fourth quarter. They win, cover the 7.5 as the home favorite. Game goes over 37.5 due to those 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter by the Browns. But, hey, Bengals win this game, finish 9-8, 31-14. They cover the number. What'd you take away from the Queen City?
I didn't really have eyes on this game because it wasn't a game that I was, you know, in. I mean, obviously, again, Cleveland rested all of their starters, including their fourth quarterback, Joe Flacco, in the game. And it did matter then. They were locked into the fifth seed. They couldn't even change the position that they were in, so they had no reason to even risk anybody getting hurt. And it's just sort of lipstick on a pig for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, the Browns finish 11-6. Driscoll for the Browns. Might remember him. I know he played a short time at Florida, I believe also at West Virginia. Well, he gets a shot here in the National Football League. 166 yards, 2 touchdowns, also 2 interceptions. Mixon led the way for the Bengals on the ground. 14 carries, 111 yards with a touchdown. And Bell, the wide receiver for Cleveland, 4 receptions, 68 yards, leading the way receiving. Next game up, we will hit the Vikings and the Lions. That will be on the other side as the Vikings end the season under 500. Lions finish it 12-5, Detroit in the playoffs. That's the game we'll recap up next, guys. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us. We got next game up, recapping the slate from today in the NFL, and then we'll take a look ahead towards the playoff matchups. We had the Vikings and the Lions, 30-20. That was Detroit on top. They finished their season, Mark, 12-5. Vikings dropped to 7-10. It was the Lions on top. They cover the 3. They win at home. Game goes over 45.5. What'd you take away from Vikings and Lions in the Motor City?
Surprised the Lions went after it the way they did. They got a couple people hurt in the game, including tight end Sam Laporta, who's going to miss next week. So, you know, you win the game, sure, but you lose your best tight end, and let's see how that affects them next week. I mean, that's a big loss for them. I wouldn't underscore that loss as something that is going to mean something going forward. But, you know, Dan Campbell has continued to prove that sometimes he chooses ego over smart stuff, and I hope it doesn't cost him next week. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good rah-rah guy, getting the guys up. Yeah, kind of a head-scratching one there. Mark, kind of just off the field. Did you see what he starts his day with? Have you ever seen that little clip where he starts with, like, two Americano Grandes with, like, extra espresso shots in it? It's like something a cardiologist would not want to hear about. Did you see that?
I did not, but I probably will not start my that way tomorrow.
Yeah, it just sounds like a wild way to get going, you know, the caffeine level through the roof. He actually, it doesn't surprise me, but when he said that, I thought that that was kind of funny. Next game up here, guys, Jaguars and Titans. This one from Tennessee is the home Titans, 28-20 over the Jags. Jags actually went off as the favorite, -3 in the hook. 41.5 was the total, so it gets up and over. And the Titans win in Nashville. What'd you take away, Jags and Titans here, Mark?
I was on the Titans today. I said all season long the Jaguars were overrated. I said all season long the Jaguars weren't that good. I said all season long that I didn't think they were locked to win their division. And, well, hey, I'm right. It's nice to be right every now and then. I actually, as crazy as it sounds, I know this is a jerk thing to say, I actually enjoyed watching the Jaguars not win the division. Because I remember us talking the way that they were priced at the beginning of the year, as far as winning the AFC South. They were priced like the Chiefs were going to win the AFC West, right? Like they were -155, -160 favorites to win that division. Like nobody else had a chance. And I thought it was utterly ridiculous that they were priced that way. And remember, you know, I saw a column today that said the Jaguars were hoping to build off their playoff win from last year. Do you guys remember their playoff win from last year? They didn't win a football game. The Chargers blew a 27-point lead. The Jaguars didn't win that game. The Chargers lost it. The Jaguars had no business winning that game and even coming close to winning a second playoff game. So there was just there was a whole sense of overreaction to what the Jaguars did last year in the playoffs that I was never buying into because I didn't think they were that good. And look, they lost, what, five of their last six down the stretch to end up blowing the division and missing the playoffs altogether. And, oh, by the way, this just in. I tried to tell you guys this over and over again. Doug Peterson is not that good of a coach.
Sure, Mark. I remember our conversation earlier this season, guys. Pro Football Full Circle, probably the week before the season started. And you talking about them winning the division. I remember the last year. Right. I even remember saying this to you, like, if you're betting the Jaguars this season, you're a year late. Like, that was a great bet the year before. For this season, you got to be out ahead of the curve in this business. You can't go, oh, last year they were good, so I'm going to now bet on them this year when they're, I forget the price, but they were definitely minus. I want to say like -300 to win the division, where the year before they were +700 to win the division. So to go from +700 to, I'm not 100% sure what they were this year, but it was like minus.
No, they were about -165, -170 to win that division.
Okay.
Yeah. Still, it was an it was an insanely high price. Like, again, that's what you priced the Chiefs to win the AFC West, right? That's what you priced the Niners to win the NFC West. You don't price the Jacksonville Jaguars that way. Like, they're an elite team in this league. They're not.
Yeah, so +700 to -160. I mean, just think about that, guys. That's $860, you know, dollars on a $100 bet difference from one year to the other. It was too big of a move. So, hey, if you watch it, Pro Football Full Circle, throughout the course of the season from the beginning of the year, you'd be on the right side of that one. Next game up here, Mark, Jets and Patriots, 7-10 Jets, now 4-13 Patriots. When was the last time that happened from New England? 17-3, Jets on top. They win as the 1.5-point underdogs here. 30.5, it stays under. What'd you take away from New England?
This game was going under the whole way. I'm actually mad at myself because I didn't bet it. Look, you take away from New England what the Jets take away, what the Falcons take away, what a lot of teams take away, that if you don't have secure, stable quarterback play, you're not going to be very good. That's just the bottom line. It doesn't matter what else you do well. Like, you know, I would count the Cleveland Browns as the exception. The fact that they've gone through four quarterbacks this year, you know, I would say that that's not the norm. and that's not something you would expect to happen on a year-in, year-out basis. There's a certain amount of luck and good fortune, I think, that comes with that, as opposed to high-level play. But that's what you take away. When you have bad, uncertain quarterback play, you're going to have an issue.
We got Falcons and Saints up next. This was an ugly one for the Dirty Birds here, Mark. The Falcons, they finish at 7-10, and they go down 48-17 to the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans went off as the -3-point home favorite, 42.5. The Saints eclipse that themselves. So the game goes over. Saints win and cover. What'd you take away here with the Falcons and Saints from the Big Easy?
Okay, let's just break this game down, because it was a 17-17 game at halftime. And then what happened on the first drive of the second half, Drew? Desmond Ridder does what Desmond Ridder does, and that means he throws an interception. Saints, Falcons go 3-and-out, Saints score again, the game was over. That was when the game ended. The rest of it was window dressing. You know, the bottom line here is, and it looks like, unfortunately, Arthur Smith is going to lose his job, although I've been the one person campaigning that he shouldn't lose his job, because I don't think he should. I think you can have a philosophical discussion about the state of the franchise and the quarterback that you chose and whether they got that right or got it wrong. And I think those things are fair. But I would tell you again that, you know, when you have bad quarterback play, you're going to struggle to win games.
Well, Mark, let me ask you this, because, guys, we got the Bucks and the Panthers. We'll hit that on the other side. But we got a little time here, Mark. I mean, you're close to the organization. You followed them for quite a while. You're there in the Atlanta area. I mean, are the Falcons, NFL draft-wise, in the market for a quarterback? I mean, if Michael Penix does drop, what are your overall thoughts on it?
I mean, it depends on who the coach is, right? If you're Arthur Smith, I don't know you can draft a quarterback per se, because you're going to go through some growing pains with a rookie quarterback for the most part. So you may have to look in the direction of a veteran quarterback out there, whether it's Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson, wherever it may be. But if a new coach comes in here, I'm sure they're going to end up drafting one.
Man, yeah, I guess it does have a lot to do with the coaching, because, yeah, if you're looking to hold on to your job, you might not want to bring in a rookie quarterback, even though, hey, Penix has looked good. If another one of these quarterbacks drops, you know, it really hasn't worked out well for the Falcons at the quarterback position. Desmond Ridder did throw for 291 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have that critical interception like Mark talked about to start off the second half. Guys, we got Bucks and Panthers up next. We'll also take a look ahead towards the NFL playoff picture. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking down the games from the Sunday NFL slate and then taking a look ahead towards all the playoff matchups. Next game up here, Mark, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. And it was the Buccaneers over the Panthers, 9-0. No, that's not a blowout in MLB. That was the final score here of this one. Tampa Bay goes on the road. They win the division here, Mark. And the Panthers dropped to just 2-5 on the season. They get blanked at home, -4.5. That was Tampa Bay as the road favorite. They win, they cover, the game stays under 36.5. What'd you take away from Carolina today?
I mean, Carolina actually should have won that game. They were going in for a 7-0 lead. They fumbled the ball out of the back of the end zone, and Tampa got a touchback. And I think Bryce Young threw another red zone pick. Is that what it was? Something else happened where they left another touchdown on the board in the game. Let me just look at it real quick. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, you want to talk about teams that are a disgrace for winning their – the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a disgrace for winning their division. That's what it boils down to. I mean, you know, it's you know, there's no way that Tampa should have won that division. Like, the Falcons and Saints handed it to them. Oh, yeah, they had a missed field goal, too. They had a missed field goal that they did. And they fumbled the ball inside the Tampa 35. Like, it, you know, Tampa outplayed, I'm sorry, Carolina outplayed Tampa today. They absolutely did.
Yeah, Panthers do drop to just 2-15. I think I said 2-5. Shout out to our producer, Matt, for letting me know that. You play 17 games, not seven, guys. So 2-15 for the Panthers. Bucks finish it 9-8 with the 9-0 win on the road. Next game up, let's head to Lambeau. We saw the Chicago Bears go on the road and go down 17-9 to the Green Bay Packers. Packers finish 9-8, punch their ticket into the playoffs here. They cover the 3, game stays under 45. What'd you take away from Lambeau here? Bears going down to the Packers, Mark.
Listen, the Packers aren't going to lose this game. And, you know, you saw a moment where Jordan Love needed to play a really good game, and he did. And he put the team on his back, and he was excellent today. There's no getting around it. He was a big reason why they won that game. And they left some points on the board, too. Their idiot kicker missed a field goal. They botched the end of the first half, and ran out of time and didn't end up being able to kick a field goal. So there was a bunch of this game should have been a lot bigger than what it was.
We'll head to the desert. Next one up, AFC West here. Broncos and Raiders, with the Raiders winning it 27-14. Jared Stidham and company, the former Auburn Tiger, 272 yards, one touchdown, one interception in the win. Raiders win at home. They cover the 3. Game gets up and over the 37.5. What'd you take away from Las Vegas, Nevada today, Mark?
Raiders played a motivated football game. They wanted to win for their coach. They wanted to win to secure Antonio Pierce a job full time. I thought it was a great look. You know, the Raiders minus 2.5. I mean, it went to 3, and I told people I wasn't even scared with the 3. I didn't think it mattered. But, you know, Raiders minus 2.5 was my big bet this week, they pulled through just as I expected they would. I didn't really think the Broncos had much left, despite Jared Stidham being okay. They didn't really have, you know, this is a team in a little bit of turmoil right now, Denver is.
We'll head to New Jersey next game up with the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Football Giants. Giants win this one 27-10 in MetLife. They finish the season 6-11. Eagles 11-6. Eagles went off as the 5.5-point road favorite, and they go down 27-10. Game stays under 41.5. What'd you take away from Eagles and Giants today, Mark?
Eagles are an absolute mess right now. I tried to tell everybody the Eagles were fraudulent all season long. When they were 10-1, I remember sitting here screaming that I didn't think they were that good, that they snuck by with a lot of close wins. They were very fortunate to win a lot of games. Even the game over the Buffalo Bills, they were fortunate to win. But it caught up with them. Now, that doesn't mean the Eagles can't go out and win a playoff game next week against Tampa Bay. I think they can. But this this was a game that didn't really matter to Philadelphia per se. They knew the Cowboys weren't going to lose to the Commanders, and they were relegated to the wild card. So there wasn't a high level of motivation there for them to go win this game.
Yeah, we did see Taylor, the quarterback for the Giants, taking the snaps, 297 yards. So just under 300 yards passing with a touchdown. We saw Watkins receiving for the Eagles with 93 yards on 8 receptions in the loss. We'll see if the Eagles can turn it around heading into the playoffs. Next game up, we'll head back to the desert, this time in Glendale, Arizona, with the Seattle Seahawks going on the road, finishing the season 9-8, and they win 21-20 over the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals finished the year just 4-13. Kyler Murray did throw for 262 yards and a touchdown, but the Seahawks win this one on the road. What'd you take away here as the Seahawks cover the 3. Cardinals cover the 3 as the dog, but Seattle wins outright. Game stays under 47.5. What'd you take away from Glendale today, Mark?
Seattle shouldn't have won the game. The idiot kicker for Arizona missed the field goal that would have won them the game. And I think, is that the second time? Let me just double check. Didn't they win, or did they lose another game on a last second field goal that missed? I'm trying to see. They lost. They lost a game to the Rams on a missed field goal with 3 seconds left. So the football gods giveth and they taketh away. So, but it didn't matter. Seattle, Green Bay won. They weren't going to go to the playoffs regardless. They needed Green Bay to lose, so they didn't have a chance.
Yeah, Seattle on the outside looking in, unfortunately, not getting into the playoffs, although finishing over 500 at 9-8. We got next game up, Kansas City Chiefs, LA Chargers. Chargers go down 13-12. That was the Chiefs on top. They finished the season 11-6. Chargers just 5-12 on the year, 2-7 at home. Chargers went off as 3.5-point home favorites and go down outright. 35.5 was the closing total. Game stays under. Chiefs win outright as the dog. What'd you take away from Inglewood today, Mark?
I didn't touch this game. I didn't even watch this game. I wouldn't even look at this game. I had no desire to have any part of it whatsoever. The Chiefs obviously didn't play anybody of importance. Neither did the Chargers. And Brandon Staley would be out of a job probably within the next 8 hours.
Over under Monday at noon Pacific time, he gets fired.
Oh, he doesn't make it to noon Pacific. No shot. 3 o'clock Eastern, no shot. He's fired by 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
All right, guys. We got the LA Rams and San Francisco 49ers up next. 49ers 12-5, top of the NFC here. They do lose this one, though, to the Rams, who finish at 10-7 on the season, 21-20. That was the Rams going on the road and winning. 49ers went off as the 4-point home favorite. 41.5 was the total, so it stays under, although a lot of time this number was at 41, so you likely pushed on the total. I know I did personally. Anyway, Mark, what'd you take away? Sam Darnold versus what, Carson Wentz? Heck of a quarterback matchup here. Rams win it 21-20.
Yeah, Carson Wentz had 17 carries for 56 yards in that game. What happened? What did I miss? Look, you know, you and I talked about this on the Hustle Show podcast, I think, at the beginning of the season, where the Rams were a team that I looked at that I thought was a little undervalued, and I said, take them to win over 2.5 division games. They certainly did that, but you know, them making the playoffs was rather surprising to me, of all people. And, you know, a lot of credit. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Matt Stafford started all 17 games. Guess what happens? Oh, the Rams are actually a competent football team because you get competent quarterback play. I can't seem to stress this enough to everybody. As I'm sitting here again in Atlanta trying to defend to Falcons fans why Arthur Smith shouldn't lose his job, because when you get bad quarterback play, this is what happens. Well, when you get good quarterback play, you go 10-7. I mean, the Rams don't have a great defense. They don't really have a running game. And they got Melik Aliki Mukka as the breakout wide receiver of the year, which is great. But, you know, when you have consistent quarterback play, you're going to win a lot of games. Like, that's just what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's amazing how much quarterback play affects the outcome of major college football in the NFL. It's not rocket science, Mark. All right, one more game here, guys, and then in the next segment, we'll break down the playoffs. It was the Cowboys and the Commanders to finish it here, 38-10. That was the Cowboys on top. They finished the season 12-5. Commanders dropped to just 4-13. Cowboys win. They cover the 13.5, and the game gets over 47.5 by the slimmest of margins. What'd you take away from our nation's capital here, Mark?
Look, the Cowboys weren't going to lose this game. I was actually surprised they gave up 10 points in the first half. But yeah, I mean, typical Cowboys. I don't think people take them as seriously as they should, but I do think that is a legitimate Super Bowl team.
Hey, could see it, guys. NFC, can they knock off the 49ers amongst others? Hey, we got it coming to you next weekend as the Cowboys in the playoffs. They win this game 38-10. We will get first looks on the AFC and NFC playoffs here. The NFL playoff breakdown's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Pro Football Full Circle Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno here until well, we're recapping the Bills and the Dolphins, and then we're taking a look ahead towards the playoff games. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Last recap here for the Week 17 slate. Mark, we got Bills going on the road to Miami Gardens, knocking off the Dolphins as three-point favorites. They win it 21-14. Josh Allen does throw for 359 yards and two touchdowns. Also had two interceptions, one of them pretty ugly, throwing it up into the end zone. However, they get the win, and the Dolphins go down. So the Dolphins going on the road for their first playoff game, and the Bills going to be at home in the two seed. So what'd you take away from Miami Gardens here Sunday Night Football?
I mean, listen, Josh Allen is never going to make things pretty. It's not going to be aesthetically pleasing. He's going to make some mistakes, but the guy doesn't quit, and he keeps playing, and he keeps playing, and he makes plays, and he gets his team back in the game. And so, you know, as much as it looks ugly and people want to bang on him for interceptions, okay. Like I said, I said this at the beginning of the year with Josh Allen. You can bang on the guy all you want. If you're going to give me 11 wins every single year, guess what? It's a pretty good quarterback, because you don't get to 11 wins without having a pretty good quarterback. Not every single year. So say what you want about Josh Allen. Knock yourself out. The guy's a winner. The guy's a baller. And he puts his team on his back in big moments to help them win games. It's about the best I can come up with.
All right. Not aesthetically pleasing and getting the job done though. And you're right. 11 wins on the season.
It doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing. You know what's aesthetically pleasing? W's. Because at the end of the day, no one cares. No one cares how you win. They don't. They only care how you lose. You want to lose like the Falcons did today, 48-17? That's probably bothersome. You want to win an ugly game where you throw three picks, but you end up winning the division? No one cares. Ain't nobody going to be talking about interceptions in the end zone tomorrow. You know what they're talking about? Hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers next weekend in the playoffs.
That's a game we're going to get to here, guys, as the AFC playoff picture is set, as is the NFC. But the first game up, we're going to go in chronological order here, at least the order of kickoff, as we got two on Saturday, three on Sunday, and one on Monday. And the first game up, as you see the Buffalo Bills there, the game we just broke down, 11-6 in the two seed. So this is the updated AFC playoff picture if you're watching here on Sports Grid. First game up, Cleveland and Houston, Mark, as we get the 4-5 seed. And it looks like early market trading here, FanDuel Sportsbook dealing a -2. There is -2.5 out there, -1.5 as well. And that's the Browns as the favorite on the road. 43.5 being the total. What are we thinking? First glance, first game up, Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, Browns and Texans here, Mark.
The Browns are a completely different team on the road. Look, I mean, anytime you get this situation where you get a home dog in the playoffs, it's, to me, it 100% is worth looking at. Like, you can't ignore the fact that there's a home dog in the playoffs. So these two teams met a couple of weeks ago in Cleveland. C.J. Stroud didn't play, and the Browns blew him out. So, you know, and really the other thing, too, is how much do you want to trust and believe that the ride Joe Flacco has been on is going to continue. Now, I covered the Ravens for a long time. I covered Joe Flacco his entire career in Baltimore before I moved to Atlanta. And I keep telling this to Ravens fans. You guys all know that, you know, Flacco is a stinker waiting in his back pocket, right? Like, we've all seen it. Like, we've watched him play long enough in Baltimore to know that Joe's going to have a less than average game at some point. Now, the thing in Baltimore is his defense bailed him out. That happens. Guess what? He's got a defense that's like the ones he had in Baltimore. So guess what? He's going to be okay. However, I would say this much. Joe Flacco to throw an interception, over a half an interception, probably a really safe bet, although it's probably going to be minus money. I'd be willing to even take Joe Flacco to throw over 1.5 interceptions at plus money if it's there.
You think there's anything to the angle of Cleveland, the Browns, yes, a good defense, but since Joe Flacco's been the quarterback, Mark, they've actually been an over team. They just throw the football more. Does this 43.5 kind of catch your attention? Indoors, controlled climate, any feeling on the total?
it depends on how much you believe the Texans can score against that defense. That's really what the question is. Do you believe the Texans can get to 20? I mean, that's, you know, if you believe they can and you think that they will, then I think it's an overplay. But it's interesting that it's under that key number of 44, because 24 to 20 would get you right at 44. 44 is a key total. So that's what this boils down to. Do you believe that the Houston Texans will score 20? If you do, take the over. I don't know that I believe that. Okay. I mean, they barely got to 23 against the Colts in a must-win spot. You know, I know it was on the road, but it's again, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, they might not get there.
Sure, Mark. Well, next game up, we've got two on Saturday here. Saturday night, Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs. Big one here in Arrowhead, Mark. We are seeing the Chiefs opening -3.5-point home favorites, 45 being the total. Miami just losing on Sunday Night Football. Short week on the road here, going up against the Chiefs. What are we thinking? Chiefs, -3.5, 45 being the total.
I do not want to lay points with this current installment of the Chiefs offense, period. I just don't. Now, this is a question of whether you believe that the Dolphins can score on the Chiefs defense. Remember, these two teams met earlier in the year. What was the final? 17-10? Was that right? Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, the one in Europe?
It
was like a seven-point game.
Yeah, but it's under. I mean, this is an under game all the way for me, 100%. That's the only play I'd have here. And I can't wait for the public to jump on this thing and bet the over and get it over. It's 21-14 was the final. And get this thing over the key number of 47? Yeah, then I'm going to jump on the under.
Okay, so you think the market's going to push it up, and then Friday, Saturday, you come in and bet the under?
The public is absolutely going to push this thing up because they see the Chiefs and they see the Dolphins and they think, oh, yeah, these are two great offenses. Yeah, they're going to score. Well, what do we know? The Chiefs aren't a great offense, and Miami can't score against tough physical defenses, as you saw tonight. So there's that.
Saturday night under look there to start us off. Two games in the books on Saturday. We got Sunday, three games, full slate of football here. January 14th on Sunday. We will be back next Sunday night recapping some of these games and looking ahead towards the Monday night. So mark your calendars right here on Sports Grid. Pittsburgh and Buffalo, that's going to kick us off on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, as we are seeing an early line here of -10, that being the Bills at home, 40.5, 41 being the total. What are we thinking here? Steelers and Bills, as the Bills have already been bought up from 8.5 to 10 here, Mark.
Oh, there's no way I'm laying 10 with Buffalo. Zero chance. Steelers are pass. I assume it's Mason Rudolph starting at quarterback. This feels like a game I'd automatically pass on. I'm not laying 10 with Buffalo, and there's no way Mason Rudolph would ever get my money. Period.
What about this total 43? Man, kind of liking the over. Got to watch the weather, though, northeast this time of year. Yeah. Something I haven't looked at.
That's something that could play a part in it, but this all around feels like a pass to me. I mean, maybe if I'm looking at this right here, 43, what does that get us to? 21.5. 425 Bills over 26 would be around their team total, 26, maybe to 27. Does that feel Bills maybe over 27? I could live with at home. I think they score more at home than they do on the road. That maybe feels about right. I mean, again, they would have got to 27 tonight at Josh. Again, here's what you have to contend with. Josh Allen going to throw a red zone pick. You're going to throw a pick in the end zone, take 6 points off the board? Because if he does, they're not getting over 27. That's really ultimately what it boils down to. If Josh Allen doesn't turn the ball over, the Bills should easily get to 27. That's as simple as I can make the handicap.
All right, let's move down the list here. The middle game on Saturday, January 14th, Packers and Cowboys. Big brand name here, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific kick from Dallas, Texas. We're seeing Cowboys -7 in the hook now. Open 7, -7.5, pretty much across the board now. 49 being the total. These numbers are moving pretty much as we're talking here, guys. So we've seen Cowboys money off the open. What are you thinking? Packers at Cowboys here. Middle game on Sunday, Mark.
Cowboys in the first half, -3.5. Cowboys have been great at home in the first half. They score a ton of points. I think the first half over at 24.5 might not be a bad play either. I would tend to think that there are points scored. I would tend to think that Cowboys team total also probably in play as they've gone over their team total. I mean, they're averaging 40 points a game at home. So how emotionally spent is Green Bay after having to win a game to get into the postseason? What do they have left over on the road? I think those are all valid questions going into this game. I'd be curious to see if this number gets moved off 7 and what direction it goes in. I think it would genuinely get moved to 7.5 before it would ever go to 6.5. But that said, you know, again, it'll be curious to see where it goes from that standpoint.
We can fit one more here. Sunday night football, LA Rams, Detroit Lions. We are seeing the Lions -3 or -3.5. Looks like 3.5 at FanDuel as the home favorite, 51.5 being the total. Again, guys, we'll be here next Sunday night watching this in-game live. Mark your calendars. Rams, Lions from the Motor City, Sunday night here, Mark Zeno.
I lean Lions. They're putting that total way too high. I would look first half under too. Just because, again, yeah. I think when you get teams like this that don't have a lot of playoff experience, and the Rams obviously have playoff experience at the head coach and the quarterback, but a lot of the rest of the guys don't because they haven't been in the playoffs. It's a brand new roster. It may tend to be some nerves there, particularly with the Lions side. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to figure out where you go. I mean, here's what makes the playoffs hard. You know, you don't have a full complement of games to pick from. So if I don't like a number in a certain spot, I'm only relegated to the 6 games this weekend that are on the board, right? So you kind of have to maybe look to some alternate markets to see what you like. You know, maybe a Rams team total I could be interested in, something like that. But you got to do some.
Be a good sports grid.
Rams at Lions, guys. Yeah, we are seeing some of these numbers move, and you're right. It is a high total, 51.5, even 52 out there in the marketplace. It'll be one to watch. Guys, we got the Eagles and the Buccaneers Monday Night Football to end the first round of the playoffs up next. Do not go anywhere. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment, Pro Football Full Circle, Sirius Channel 159. Huge shout out to you guys listening in, radio affiliates across the country as well. This is Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Follow Mark on social media at Mark Zeno. You can find me at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Shout out to Matt and Frank behind the scenes in the producer's role, doing a great job as always Sunday nights. We got one game left to preview here for the NFL playoffs, round number one. It's Monday Night Football here, guys. I believe the 4 and the 5 seed, Philadelphia Eagles, Tampa Bay Bucks, 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Pacific. -2, -2.5, actually, is what we're seeing at FanDuel. That is the Eagles as the road favorite. Keep in mind, the Bucks won the division. They get the home game, 44.5 being the total. Eagles heading to the Sunshine State. What are we thinking in Raymond James Stadium? Eagles and Bucks here, Mark.
I know the Eagles are a mess, but I think they beat this team handily. They already beat them once earlier this year. I don't think Tampa's very good. I don't think Baker Mayfield's very good. And for as a mess as the Eagles have been, you know, they're playoff run and playoff experience last year would serve them well in this spot.
Could see that happen in bounce back fashion under a field goal here. Mark, kind of final thoughts for the show heading into playoffs. Does the handicap change? Any words of advice there for bettors looking to bet the NFL playoffs before we shut this down?
Coaching matters. Coaching absolutely matters. And in-game coaching matters. And it's something you have to account for in the playoffs.
Guys, I'll add in there this trend with the Cleveland Browns and overs hitting with Flacco as their quarterback. They throw the football more. It's in Houston. First game up, I'd look to go up and over 43.5. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Again, at Mark Zeno on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. That does it for Pro Football Full Circle. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll be back next Sunday. Come back and join us. SportsGrid.